This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. A framework deal has been reached for the ownership of TikTok. That, according to Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent, after weekend talks between the U.S. and China in Spain. The Federal Reserve is widely expected to make its first interest rate cut of the year at the conclusion of its September meeting on Wednesday of this week.
The Fed is widely expected to cut interest rates by 0.25%, meaning it gets a little bit cheaper to borrow money. Think lower credit card APRs, less expensive car loans. This can also impact mortgage rates, which have been moving lower in anticipation. The average 30-year fixed-rate mortgage hit its lowest level since 2024 earlier this month.
ABC's Rebecca Jarvis. Israel and the U.S. standing side by side in the face of growing international anger over the airstrikes on Hamas members in Qatar. Funeral plans now in place for conservative activist Charlie Kirk. His memorial set for State Farm Stadium in Phoenix on Sunday. This is ABC News.
As Wisconsin is hitting the road on your Harley, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
For 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska. Could Wisconsin's state capitol see additional security? That's what some lawmakers are proposing. With more, here's Civic Media's Savannah Toma-Yulson.
Wisconsin lawmakers are again talking about their safety after the assassination of right-wing figure Charlie Kirk. Kirk was shot and killed from 200 yards away during a speech in Utah on Wednesday. And months ago, Minnesota State Representative Melissa Hortman and her husband were gunned down in their home, while another state rep and his wife were shot. Assembly Minority Leader Democrat Greta Neubauer says security decisions are in the hands of Republicans.
Given the recent rise in political violence, of course, this is top of mind for many of our colleagues and, of course, the staff who work in the Capitol as well, the press, the guests, the children that come through this building on Capitol visits. So it's an ongoing conversation, and we hope to continue that with our Republican colleagues who, of course, control the safety in our chambers, as well as the other entities in the Capitol.
Assembly Speaker Robin Voss says he's open to lawmakers using funding for their offices to increase security at their homes.
I am very confident in the police force that we have inside the Capitol. If you look at the incidents that have occurred, frankly, when you look at Minnesota, it was in their homes. If you look at what happened yesterday with Charlie Kirk, it was in a public venue on a campus. So the idea that we're somehow going to fortify a single building to make people feel safer, when the reality is that most of the violence that has occurred has not been inside a government building, it's been outside or at people's home. One of the things we have talked about is the possibility of people having using their office account for security at their home. You know, if they want to do that, I'm open to that idea.
For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei-Olson.
A proposal in the last legislative session failed to advance to a vote. Download the free Civic Media app now at civicmedia.us/app. For 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
Another Brewer injury. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball, the Brewers clinched a playoff spot over the weekend, but lost to the Cards yesterday 3-2. Pitcher Jose Quintana giving up three runs in the second. Pat Murphy says Quintana was dealing with an injury.
Jose leaving with a calf injury is, you know, that's alarming with how injured we already are in the bullpen and on the mound.
The Brewers have the night off before playing the Angels tomorrow night. A report says the Brewers could be playing the Braves in the Little League Classic in Pennsylvania next year in August. MLB says an announcement coming soon. NFL, after having the weekend off, the Packers head to Cleveland this week to play the Browns. College football, Badgers to host the Maryland Terrapins on Saturday. They lost in Alabama 38-14.
We knew we had to come out here in the first half in particular and play solid, play poised, play confident. It's exactly opposite of what we did.
That's Luke Fickell with Sports on Mike Clemens.
As Wisconsin is cheering on Bucky Badger, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
We may catch an isolated shower or thunderstorm later this morning or early this afternoon. Otherwise, partly cloudy today with a high in the mid-80s. The wind out of the southeast gusting to around 15 to 20. Tonight, scattered thunderstorms, then mostly cloudy, mid to upper 60s. Tomorrow, mostly sunny in the mid-80s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 71.
Ahoo, this is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we share stories from Turtle Island highlighting the people and issues shaping our communities. From protecting water to treaty rights and preserving languages and traditions, we cover it all. Hear voices like Arvina Martin of Emerge Wisconsin, Dr. Stately, Robert Lilligren, and more. Because Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Joe Zepecki.
As much as I disagree with Charlie Kirk, no American should ever face physical violence for what they believe. And maybe that's how we get past it and move forward, is just say, this is not about we can't get to a period of political violence. We're in one, and now we got to get out of it. And we have to recognize each other's humanity.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Pat Kreitlow.
On Tuesday, Dan Schaefer gets us reset on who all is running for what in Wisconsin next year, and Courier Newsroom's Cam Stevenson from Capitol Hill.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9. You're listening to the Talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
Jane says, good morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and Callie Butenoff. Coming to you live from our home studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up later on this hour for Audio Sorbet after the 10:30 news. Ooh. Greg and Calvin bring me up to date. Things I might have missed.
There's this new thing called eBay. You can buy and sell anything.
So they're going to bring me up to date with some lighter things after the 10:30 news for Audio Sorbet. And then we'll wrap it up with this shouldn't be a thing. Today it's the see you later alligator, kind of along the lines of what you might be thinking. So stay tuned for that. Right now, delighted to be joined by our friend and colleague and host of the Dr. Kristen Lierley Show. Dr. Kristen Lierley is here. Good morning, my friend. How are you?
Good morning. I'm well. How are you guys?
Good. We are good. We're all back together. Happy to be back. Happy my key card still worked.
You've got this like thing about you right now, Jane. I don't know, Greg, do you see it? She's got like, I don't know, you are kind of glowing a little bit. Like you feel good, relaxed.
Relaxed. Had a chance to, I read some books, like actual books.
How do I look?
You look like you look fabulous, Greg. You look gorgeous.
I just saw you. You look like Greg.
Good save. Wow. Holy cow. You look like
Greg. Just real quickly, if you need a book that's actually going to make you laugh out loud, get the book High Fidelity, which is an old book now. They made it into a movie with John Cusack. The book is hilarious. Yeah. And The book is hilarious.
Wyatt, where is
and
that coming from?
No idea.
Oh, I don't hear it.
Oh, that was very odd. I heard myself coming back about 5 seconds late.
Oh, I thought you were like making some sort of a gesture. I was like, Jane, they can't see you on the radio when you're doing that with your face.
Anyway, read the book High Fidelity by John Hornby. Mm-hmm. You will laugh out loud. Yeah. It is hilarious. One of the funniest books I've read in decades.
And Tony on the live stream says, Greg, you look like you've been watching the news. We all do.
Yeah, that's true. There is something to be said for getting off of social media, mm-hmm. getting off of your devices, and touching grass.
How do you do it, though? Because we are so connected in so many ways for so many different reasons. You know, I was having this conversation with somebody the other day, and she was advised to get off her social media, but you can't.
Mm-hmm. It's really hard.
You can change what you're doing, maybe, but we, especially people like us who are paying attention, we have a thirst and need to know.
To know, yep.
Some people can just turn it off. Some people can just walk away, but we feel like we need to stay in tune because we're part of the solution, I think. That's how I feel.
Well, we're sharing information, and it is incumbent then upon us to have information and as much information as possible, right? And so that's part of our responsibility. It is.
Also, what would any of you do if I walked in one day and you're like, well, let's talk about this. I don't know what that is.
Yeah.
Didn't you read about that in the news?
No.
I don't read the news. Yeah. I don't read the social media. You know, it's part of our job. That's just the part. That's just that thing of maybe it's about taking all of your social. I'm on a lot of social media. Maybe it's about saying, all right, here are the things I can use for my job. The other things are extraneous. I'll either deactivate them, sign out, delete the app, come back if needed, but say, all right, I need this. Cool. I have these things done.
I mean, even while I was off, and I would still check every day, but I wouldn't be on it for 3.5 hours.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I would do my one check in the morning, turn it off, do another check, and then turn it off.
Yeah.
And read an actual book or sit outside and look at the moon or whatever. I understand completely what you're saying, Kristen, in that we can't shut all of it off, but taking a little break and taking a little carve out is really critical.
Yeah.
It is. It is.
I personally found what I've been trying to do lately is, because I'm a very much an offender of this, whatever. I commit this all the time. I'm watching a TV show on my television while looking at my phone. So what I do now, and it has to be a purposeful and an intentional act, I have to take my phone, put it across the room upside down so it goes into do not disturb mode, and I just watch the TV show I'm watching or the movie that I'm watching. And then, or at the very least, if I say I want to check something on my phone, I pause the TV. So I at least am giving attention to one thing and one thing only, but that's like, that can be a start.
Yes.
I'm not asking everyone to delete everything on their social media, but there is something to be said about at least giving your attention to one thing at one time, because when you're watching a movie and you're not watching it and you're doing this thing, nothing is happening.
Well,
Nothing's happening.
I can't tell you the number of people that we saw when we were away, and you've got a family of four and you're at a beautiful restaurant and the ocean is in the background and all four of them are on their phones.
Yeah.
And it's like, are you seeing any of what is happening around you, and are you taking any? You're missing it. We're missing life so many times, I think.
Yeah.
I do too, and I think part of it for all of us as individuals is we have to figure out how to live with this.
Right.
It's like any other thing that you can get addicted to. How do you do that thing in moderation so that it works in your life, but it doesn't consume you?
Yes.
And it doesn't start to cause physical or mental health problems for you. And that answer is going to be different for everybody.
Right.
I know for me, I am not a big consumer of social media, but I am a producer of social media. So that is where it ends up being a problem. And I've got to figure out how to make myself more efficient, because I want to keep putting videos out there, because I think that the information that I'm putting out there is combating some of the misinformation that other folks are putting out there. And I feel like it does help. So I don't want to turn that off.
Yeah.
But I also don't want to, you know, sit and doom scroll before I go to sleep at night, because that's not good for my brain. It doesn't help my sleep patterns.
Right.
And in general, it is not something that is good for me.
The blue screen before you go to sleep.
Yes.
And I've done an experiment with myself. Yeah, as opposed to reading an actual book,
yeah.
as opposed to even reading a book on my Kindle. And I do not sleep. It takes me much longer to fall asleep when you're on a screen.
And because it turns your brain on.
It does.
The light turns your brain on.
Absolutely. So, yeah, I try to no screen time for at least an hour before going to bed.
My brother-in-law, who Dr. Lila, you know, you went to medical school with him. If you know me, you know I've struggled with sleep issues for a very long time. Shout out to the CPAP. But one of the things I do, I still do, I have a TV in my bedroom. I have a phone in my hand. And he has told me more than one time. He said at 3 hours, stop doing work. At 2 hours, turn off all screens. At 1 hour, get yourself ready and in that place for bed. And he goes, and Greg, bed is for two things. That's it. And I said,
what are they?
Moving on. But I mean, it's, but the thing, Oh, I feel so uncomfortable right now.
Sleeping
in
chess.
Listen to you laugh.
That's what it's
for. Oh, my giggles, you giggler. But it's not, and that's what's crazy is if you said that to people, if you just put that out there in the world, said 3 hours, stop working before bed, 2 hours, turn off all screens, 1 hour, prep yourself. And he says, he's like, I don't even suggest you read in bed that much. Read for a little bit, but don't read half the book. You've got to let yourself, because even when you're reading a book, a physical book, your brain's still working. You've got to give yourself time to slowly ramp down and then get yourself some good sleep. And that's different for everybody. I don't subscribe to 8 hours because it's different for everybody. But that at least is a good way of looking at it, and something I personally still struggle with, getting myself to that place. Because also, as you just said, Jane, it feels like we're connected, but we're not. But it's how we stay connected. We stay in them because now everything's so instant. How many times have you had, like, oh, did you hear about that thing that just happened right now that I saw on the social media?
It was 4 minutes ago and I missed it.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's fear of missing out.
Yeah.
You know what I've noticed, though, in my kids who are all Gen Zs, they are not like we are about responding to texts. And this might also be a gender thing because they're all guys, but I'll send texts to them and they won't be like Johnny on the spot about returning that text. And in fact, sometimes they won't return the text at all. So I think that they have, because they've grown up with it, they already have some skills that we don't have because we incorporated it and we're trying to juggle it with all the other things that we're doing. So hopefully the younger generations will be better at this than we are.
That's really interesting. By the way, Dr. Kristen Lierley is our guest, our friend and colleague and host of the Dr. Kristen Lierley Show. There is something with the generation. I grew up in the generation of if the phone rang, because that was when we had landlines only.
Oh, yeah.
If the phone rang, you answered it every time it rang. Mm-hmm.
Because if you didn't,
you would miss. You didn't know what you were missing. So I think I'm the same way with text. It's like I got a text. I must instantaneously answer this because that's what we do.
And there's an automatic offense that comes. You feel inside when someone doesn't get back to you.
Now you're dissing me.
Exactly.
It's been five whole seconds.
And you have to do that passive aggressive thing where you're like, oh, I sent you that message. Did you see that message? And inside you're like, validate me. But yeah, that's very tough. I will say one thing about the landline thing. You answered the phone at 9:01 at night, and the first words out of your mouth, you say, why are you calling so late?
No, it was...
That is true.
No, it was Matinee Funeral Home. That was...
Okay, all
that
right.
Was how I answered the phone, because you had to answer the phone. Calvin, resident young person, as far as responding to texts and stuff like that, you don't blow me off because you know I'm an old person and I will ask, did you get this? Why are you not responding? Did you get my text?
Are you in a ditch?
Are you okay?
Yeah, well, see, that's the thing is I'm probably on my phone, so the odds are I see the text message. So if it's my mom or if it's work related or if it's Jane and I need to help her out. Jane has texted me like 3 times total since I've worked here, so she's exaggerating a little. But yeah, and I get back to those type of things right away. But me and my friends, like, if we're just having a casual conversation, we'll go hours or days without returning to the conversation.
How are you people so confident in your own selves? I don't understand this.
Like, I'll put a text out there like, hey guys, what do you want for dinner?
Hello.
Send it into the void.
Which Dr. Lyler, what you say to one of them is say, hey, that you know that person you find really cute and you might want to ask out? They wanted to know what you'd like for dinner tonight. And then they'd be like, oh, I see what you did there. Throw a little candy in somehow.
Yeah,
totally. That's not gonna be the candy. The candy is gonna be, did you see that new video game? That is the only thing that's gonna bring them in.
It's called What Do You Want for Dinner? Or what time you coming home?
Tony on the live stream says phones ring. I thought those were just alarm clocks. Yes, Tony, phones actually used to ring.
I can't remember what movie I was watching this weekend, but they were on their cell phones. And cell phones in movies have come a long way before. They would just have the front screen on. You're like, you're not talking to anybody, but now they have it. But this person got hung up on, and you just heard a dial tone. I'm like, that's not what happens on cell phones.
No.
In 2025 or ever. It's just, you stop.
We need to bring that back, actually. Yeah, exactly. Slamming down
that's such a good
of
feeling.
The phone receiver was a very, very satisfying thing.
Oh, yeah?
Take that. Yeah, that's not the same.
No.
We're going to continue our conversation with Dr. Kristen Lierley about measles. That's what we're going to do next. You're listening to Matt and Air on Air, coming to you across the Civic Media Radio Network. Stay with us.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, Lacrosse's home for the Todd Allball Show.
I love playing sports, especially for my school. And that's because school sports are special. It's where it's safe to fail. It's where we're taught resilience, where our fear becomes confidence. It's where we learn to get back up after every fall. School sports are where 7.8 million students go from I can't to I can.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. September 4th, Native Nations asked the U.S. Supreme Court to uphold the longstanding right of individuals to bring voting rights complaints to federal court. If the High Court takes the case, its decision could have consequences for voting rights protections under the Voting Rights Act. In 2021, the Turtle Mountain Band of Chippewa Indians and the Spirit Lake Nation negotiated with the state of North Dakota to create voting districts which didn't dilute Native voting power. But after a 2023 Eighth Circuit Court decision in Arkansas, the state of North Dakota reneged on its deal with the tribes. The decision said only the U.S. Justice Department, not individual voters, could bring suits to enforce the VRA. Of 450 VRA Section 2 cases since 1982, only 18 were brought by DOJ. May 14th, a three-judge appeals panel affirmed that decision, but still only for the Eighth Circuit. After a July 15th stay, the nations asked the High Court on September 4th to take the case. Spirit Lake Nation Chair Lana Jackson Street said, "It is shameful that when we succeeded in court and got a fair map in place, the state turned its attack toward the Voting Rights Act and a person's right to vote free from discrimination. We need the Supreme Court to protect our fundamental right to vote and be heard." We have our past reports on the case at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
We are the National Park Foundation, and together with you, we're creating a future where every person, every generation, gets their chance at an unforgettable moment. Learn more at nationalparks.org/foundation.
As Wisconsin is saying the word bag instead of bag, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Good morning and welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, the Board Lord, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. We're joined by Dr. Kristen Lyerly, friend, colleague, host of the Dr. Kristen Lyerly Show. And we wanted to talk a little bit about measles, because measles cases continue to grow in Wisconsin and grow nationwide from what I've been seeing.
It's in almost every single state. But what we're seeing here in Wisconsin is Oconto County is the nidus of this infection. And right now, there are 36 cases, so up 9 cases from this time last week. We'll get a new updated number tomorrow. They check every Tuesday and Friday. So measles is incredibly contagious. We all know that COVID is contagious. Mm-hmm. Measles is way more contagious than COVID. And your best bet at not getting measles is making sure that you are vaccinated. And if you are not vaccinated, get your vaccine if you can. We all have to do that in order to protect really young kids who can't get the vaccine yet, and people who are just around in our community who also either can't get the vaccine or for whatever reason just don't develop that immunity. They need herd immunity. 95% of us have to be vaccinated in order to provide that herd immunity. And right now, Oconto County, I think the kids' vaccination number is like 74%. They are very low. Mm-hmm. Wisconsin is the second worst state when it comes to vaccinating our kids for measles. So I'm really concerned that this 36 cases in Oconto right now is just the tip of the iceberg.
Well, school is just getting started. So, you know, that it's only going to, as you said, I'm with you. I think it's only going to grow. And I also think, Dr. Lyerly, that there is this assumption, because we've had it under control for so long, that it's not that serious of a disease. That if I get measles, you get measles and you're down for a week and you get some red spots and you go on with your day. That's not necessarily true.
Well, nobody knows that better than you, Jane. I think of you every time somebody says that to me, and how you've had measles. You were sick as a dog when you had it.
I had it when I was a sophomore in high school. Mm. I got the red measles, and there with some of these old wives' tales, there is a grain of truth to them. But what I remember is my mother keeping me in a dark room for 2 weeks because of concerns that, because I had the measles, light could destroy my vision. Now, there is an element of people who have measles that can affect their vision, correct? I mean, there are far more serious ramifications from measles than people are aware of anymore because we had eradicated it for so long.
Yes. 1 to 3 out of every 1,000 children who get measles will die.
Yeah.
But that doesn't take into account the kids who have permanent hearing loss, who suffer from brain infections, who go blind because they get a measles infection, and then they're permanently disabled as a result of it. So for folks out there who are saying, just get the disease and then you'll be immune, well, that is true, but it's risks versus benefits. And the risks of the shot are incredibly low. We've had the MMR vaccine for decades. We know that this is safe for almost everybody, but the risks of actually getting measles are real, and they're very real for young children who are incredibly vulnerable.
I know that I'm not going to get into all of it regarding the vaccines, but I feel like there was a time when it was just the COVID vaccine was something you could easily say, I don't want it because of whatever. And no one really touched our pre-existing vaccines for the most part. I mean, you have the people
out
there.
They did.
Okay. Well, I guess it's just.
They actually did. Because here in Wisconsin, we've had an exemption
for
whatever reason. So parents could just decline that any vaccinations for any reason. And that is why our vaccine rates are so low. This is something that the Wisconsin Medical Society, which tends to be a pretty conservative organization, has lobbied on repeatedly, because over the past 15 years, and I hate to make it political, but it is political, our Republican-controlled legislature has really pushed back on vaccines. And it's been difficult for us to try to protect the public in general, to try to reinforce our public health measures. So, yeah.
I'm sorry to have to say this, but there were at least 2 children in Texas who died from measles this year. Mm-hmm. This is happening now. This isn't from the 1940s, the 1950s. This is happening now, where we have children dying from diseases we, for the most part, have eradicated. So,
you know what? The thing that makes me so crazy about this, too, is every time I post about this, people say they're just illegals. They get pulled into this whole political. They must be saying something on Fox News that these folks who are getting measles are undocumented immigrants and tying those things together. Yeah, I don't know that for sure. I haven't heard it, but I definitely see that argument coming up over and over and over again. And, you know, there is, again, a grain of truth that sometimes immigrants don't have the same level of vaccination that we do. But what the reason for people getting measles is because they are not vaccinated, not because they are immigrants.
Exactly. And I'm sorry, real quickly, the Washington Post, the American parents who are choosing to skip or delay vaccines for their kids are more likely to homeschool, be white, be very religious, identify as Republican, or be under 35.
And if you say to me that the people who are getting this and all the That means you say you don't care that undocumented people die. That means that, like, a life is not a life to you. A life is qualified by various,
there are qualifiers,
various things. And if you're talking about Fox News, well, if they're unhoused, well, then they just want to kill them. So
yeah, well, we'll get to Brian Kilmeade tomorrow. That's a whole nother discussion. Dr. Kristen Lierley, our friend and colleague, host of the Dr. Kristen Lierley Show. Always a pleasure. Thank you so very much, my friend. We will see you
right
soon.
Right back at you, sister. Take care.
News coming up next when we return. A little audio sorbet to lighten things up. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back. I'm just a dreamer, dreaming my life away. Oh, yeah, yeah,
yeah. Eagle 1490 AM. As Wisconsin as a fish fry on a Friday night, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
For 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska. Wisconsin Republicans are putting together a package of bills to reform education in Wisconsin. With more, here's Civic Media's Savannah Tomei Olson.
These bills aren't even drafted yet, so there weren't a ton of details available at a press conference this week. But Republicans in the Assembly focused heavily on districts with declining enrollment and declining funding. One of their big solutions is to encourage more districts to combine. There are more than 400 of them across Wisconsin, and record numbers of them are going to referendum, asking residents to increase their own taxes just to keep the district afloat. Representative Amanda Nedweski from Pleasant Prairie.
Consolidation has long-term positive effects on both students and taxpayers. So we need to stop the cycle of never-ending referendums. Now, Democrats might argue that the solution is simply to throw more money at the problem, but it does not solve the issue that there are just less kids being born today than there were 20 years ago.
School advocates and administrators say declining enrollment isn't the problem. It's the formula itself and a lack of funding from lawmakers. State school aid has not kept up with inflation for more than a decade. Republicans' plans also include revamping the math curriculum and what they're calling a teacher's bill of rights, which they say would standardize discipline for students. They also want Wisconsin to opt in to a federal school choice program passed as part of President Donald Trump's Big Beautiful Bill earlier this year. Assembly Minority Leader Greta Neubauer criticized Republicans' plans, saying, quote, Republicans' K-12 education plans won't address the challenges facing working families or give our kids the opportunities they deserve. We shouldn't be talking about consolidating districts. We should be investing in our local schools, end quote. For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
Some of the Republicans' proposals have already been brought up in the legislature in past sessions and failed. For 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Peach Schwabba. When not trying to push her bathwater soap on lonely men or selling her good jeans, Sid Sweeney does a little acting. The Sidster will play a boxer in the upcoming film Christy, based on the real life of boxer Christy Martin. Born in small-town West Virginia, Christy Martin realized at a young age she was a good puncher and capitalized on that skill to become the best female boxer of the 90s. Despite not being released yet, the film has had a few eyes on it and is currently pulling a 61% on Rotten Tomatoes. Actor Joel Kinnaman is not a household name, but he has a solid fan base, and he seems perfect for a good crime story. So it's no surprise he is the choice to play the lead role in a new crime drama called Bishop. According to Deadline, Kinnaman plays Bishop Graves, a weathered, experienced detective who chases a killer preying on San Francisco's elite, only to find out that the crimes have a connection to his own father. The series is currently in development at Amazon MGM. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Peach Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin as a game of cribbage with good friends, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. It will continue to feel like summer for much of this week. Mostly sunny skies expected for today. Toasty with highs in the mid-80s. Partly cloudy skies tonight. A mild night with lows in the lower 60s. More of the same on Tuesday. Plenty of sunshine. Highs again in the mid-80s. Right now, 75 degrees.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
Louisiana versus Calais, C-A-L-L-A-I-S, could deal a death blow to the impact, the power, the capacity of the Supreme Court to decide Voting Rights Act cases. This is one of those times when the Supreme Court needs to hear from the public about the appropriate resolution of this major case that could compromise the Voting Rights Act going forward beyond Louisiana.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11. Maggie Dawn.
We're joined at 5 p.m. by Wisconsin Democratic gubernatorial candidate Ryan Sternad. We dig into why he's running and what he proposes for Wisconsin's future.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach. Our resident young person, Calvin, on the board, coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same. It's 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. The Brewers off today. They are back in action tomorrow night as they host the LA Angels. Our broadcast starts tomorrow, 6:05. You can listen on terrestrial radio. That games do not stream. Mm-hmm. But you can listen on terrestrial radio here in Racine and Kenosha on WRJN and on WBZH in Hayward. Crew hosting the Angels tomorrow. The broadcast starts at 6:05. Don't forget as well this Friday, our final
mm-hmm.
free ticket Friday of the season. So starting with Pat Kreitlow at 6 a.m., be listening for a keyword. You want to text in that keyword. Every show will have a different one for you. You text in the keyword, and you are in the running for a four-pack of Milwaukee Brewers club-level tickets. Hot seats, baby.
Yes, they are very hot.
They're hot seats.
Their temperature is very, very high.
Warm seats.
Those are warm seats because they're cushioned.
Oh, yes. Nicely cushioned. Yeah. And you must have the Civic Media app if you want to enter the game. Yeah. Go to wherever you get your apps. It is...
absolutely free.
Won't cost you a dime. Absolutely free. And it really is pretty great because you can pick stations from all mm-hmm. across the network, whether you want to listen to talk, maybe you want to listen to music.
Yeah.
And you can do that too. We have great music stations all across the state.
And the app also allows you not just to text us, you can call us through the app. You can leave a voice note.
Yes.
And what's really fun is people taking their devices with them on vacation, using that app to listen to the show, and then say, hey, I'm listening in New Zealand. Literally a text we got. Vienna, Germany. It's great to see people utilizing the app. Also, as an aside, thank you for making us part of your vacation. You don't have to listen if you didn't want to, and you do, and we appreciate
that. Absolutely. It means a lot. It means a lot.
Yes.
So make sure you download the Civic Media app before Friday. We would like to be able to get you into the running mm-hmm. for that. All right. This is the portion of the show that we have always called, or developed into rather, audio sorbet.
Ooh.
Where we lighten things up, get away from the news so we can all take a breath, hopefully not lose our minds. And today it's you and Calvin have come up with today's audio sorbet.
So I was just made aware today that you've been gone for almost 3 weeks. I had no idea. I was sitting in the wrong chair the entire time.
Never noticed.
We thought that Calvin and I would pick our favorite three stories that we've been talking about since you weren't here.
Okay.
They will be on the lighter side. We're not going to go into the heavy, deep stuff. And they may overlap. Who knows? We may be of one mind, one brain, mostly Calvin's. Mine is like 4%. So, Calvin, would you like to start with one?
Sure. I thought one of our great featured stories and guests was... mm-hmm. economics professor Rick Reed.
Yes.
We had him on in response to Donald Trump attacking the
Fed chair.
Yeah. And Rick was just a lot of fun. He He brought a visual aid to break down the difference between monetary and fiscal policy.
Oh, that is so awesome. He brought visual aids.
Yes, it was a really good segment.
Oh, that's great.
It was great. Yeah, you can. And I don't know if we got that out in the world, but yeah, he was great. It was wonderful. It was absolutely wonderful.
Well, and what I love about that is when you hear someone say, and tomorrow we're talking about economics. Mm-hmm. Join us. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah.
But we have found we have found guests who do make these very dry topics understandable and relatable because we are not economists.
No.
That's why we bring in people who are and can explain difficult things people like us.
Yeah. And what's great about Rick is that he's a teacher, so he knows how to take those topics and say, here, it's, yes, let's make it fun. Can we make it fun? And he did. I mean, I don't know about you, Calvin, when I saw really quick, he basically put, he would have an example, a sticker on one hand saying one where he goes, on the other hand. So he was breaking it all down. And I'm just like, I know everything now about economics. Yeah. So it was great.
But isn't that a great feeling when you can walk away from something like this and go, oh my gosh, I learned this thing that I did not know before. That's fabulous.
Absolutely.
We will have him back.
Oh yeah, he's one of the, in my opinion, he's one of the regulars because he contacted us. He's like, I haven't been on the show in a while. I'm like, you're right. So there we go.
Fabulous.
All right.
Okay. Up to speed on Rick Reed.
We also had Sarah Godlewski on the show after she announced her bid for Lieutenant Governor of Wisconsin, and it was just great to have her on because we started it off with, tell us your story, and her story is what really made me smile is because this isn't someone who said at a young age, I'm going to run for this and become this, and someday I'm going to be the president or governor. She ran out of necessity because she found out that there was something happening in the Wisconsin government that she didn't like, and they were going to get rid of the job of treasurer, I believe, and she ran for it.
Right.
And because of that started her career, not because she had this grand vision and people were like prompting her and giving her money. She saw a need. She stepped up and she got into public service. And also for me personally, because I really like Sarah, she also refers to herself as a numbers dork. She had my heart from that moment. She's running for lieutenant governor. It's not the top spot. It's not something everyone knows about, but she sees value in the position and what she can bring to it working with whomever becomes the governor, because it's not Bush Cheney. It's not Obama Biden. It's two separate people from two separate parties running.
It can be, yes.
So I really enjoyed listening to her talk about it because she also just comes from very middle class working folks and she knows what Wisconsinites need. It didn't feel like she was campaigning. She was just talking about her story in her life. So that was one of my favorites.
Well, and I think it's her origin story as far as getting into politics. Mm-hmm. I think we are seeing more of that.
Yes.
Especially in the last few years, and especially it seems to be more women are stepping up and saying, yeah, I don't like this anymore, and I'm not seeing any progress happening, and I don't like the current candidate, so I guess I'm just going to have to do it myself.
Yeah, yeah. So that was one of my favorites.
Excellent.
Calvin, what's your next one?
The next one I'll bring up is a tisbat, actually.
I know which one this is.
This one we entitled This Snack Will Shock You Edition.
Oh, I like it already.
A Dutch snack company recently released a new flavor of chip that is meant to revisit one of 90s weirdest shared experiences, licking a 9-volt battery. It is flavored with a blend of citric acid and sodium bicarbonate to create the tongue-tingling effect and balanced out with mineral salts, which gives it a metallic tang.
I'm just saying this right now. Stop looking at me, Jane, like I did this. I was one of those things where I almost said we need to keep this, but no, we need to.
Are they selling a lot of these?
You can only find them in Holland. You can order them online. Because that was the thing is like when you hear, I think it's safe to say, Calvin and our listeners, when you say 9-volt battery flavored corn chip, your first thought is, where in America can I buy this? That seems like an America thing. In fact, I would almost say Holland is traipsing on our branding, but you can get it online, but it's not available in shops in America. It's only available in Holland. But when I was I was becoming increasingly angry as I was reading this because, one, that's not a 90s sensation. People have been licking batteries since
the dawn of time.
Since they've been around.
The dawn of batteries. Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
The first battery guy was like, what's going to happen if I do that? And
what
does
this taste like? It tastes like chips.
You know that's what happened.
But yeah, that one, Calvin has definitely, you like that one. And I just felt, I don't know why I felt embarrassed. It's not an American invention, but for some reason, it just feels like someone said, what would Americans do? Let's have battery chips.
That, and you're probably not far off.
Nope.
And now there's probably some company in America going, oh, that was our, that could have been our golden standard, right?
That could have been our Big Mac.
Oh my goodness. That's quite something.
Yes, quite something.
That's quite something.
We had a wonderful interview with a gentleman named Brian Wadsworth. He is a chief operating officer of Native Public Media. So while you were gone, and we talked about the closure of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, we spoke to Kate Riley, and we spoke to Robert Pilot on what this means, because she is the CEO of America's Public Television Stations. Robert is the host of Native Roots on here on Civic Media.
Yep.
And Brian came on to talk about the work that Native Public Media has to do now because of the closure, and their budget alone was cut by 50%, but it doesn't stop them, of course. They got right into fundraising, right into planning, right into production mode, trying to see what we can do to get more monies. We also did discuss a story in the Wisconsin Examiner that talks about a handshake deal with a South Dakota senator who has, this is going to make you mad, in exchange for his vote for the bill, for the budget.
What's he getting?
Well, no, not what he's getting. What he's going to get them, $9 million to help them, but they have not gotten a call back yet. So he voted for the big bill for billionaires, and they said, okay, as long as we can get this $9 million.
And now he's not answering their
calls.
And
now no one's getting back to them. There's no update yet. And I told them to get back to us if there is, because I want to know. But at this point,
They're being
not contacted back. But I love the conversation with Brian because, one, this is something that we are going to keep on. The closure for public broadcast, the closure of that corporation means that a lot of public stations not affiliated with NPR and PBS are in trouble. And it's good to hear the story of Brian and his group and what they're doing to take action.
Yep.
And that's what they're doing. So
and
that
to
was
keep it alive.
That was another great one.
Well, and just as a reminder as well, folks, if you've missed any of these interviews and you would like to hear them, you can always go to our website, go to civicmedia.us, and you click on shows at the top. And there's at least 100 prior shows.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And Greg does a great job of little compilations so you know what is in each episode. I believe you can even search by guest.
Yeah, you can search.
Is there a function that it has?
You can go to Google and you can search Civic Media, the guest name, and it will pop up. And actually, each guest now has their own little homepage. So say someone like a Kristen Lierley comes on, you can actually go to a specific webpage and it shows all of her appearances.
That's great.
So it's very functional. If you go to civicmedia.us/shows and you can listen to these episodes, you can download them directly to your device. You can listen to them anytime you would like if you want to catch up. But yeah, that's another great story. Calvin, I think we have time for one more.
Yeah. We're going to have to do this a little quickly. So we might not be able to give it too much time, but Groundswell Collective, we had on, they were fantastic. Marilyn Hayden, she is elderly and legally blind, and she was one of the founding members of Groundswell Collective working on getting public transportation in Walworth County and around South Central Wisconsin.
Oh, that sounds huge.
Yeah, that's a great interview. It's a three-part interview we did with them as well. So if you want to go back and listen, that was last week. Great story about organizing, about transportation for folks who need it. But that was a great conversation with Jeremiah Gomez and Marilyn Hayden of Groundswell Collective.
Well, thank you for bringing me up to speed.
You're all caught up. Nothing else happened while you're gone.
You don't need me here at all.
Hey!
Extraneous Janius.
That's the worst Harry Potter spell ever. Worst. Oh, I don't want to get rid of you.
Okay. When we return, we're going to wrap it up as we always do with This Shouldn't Be a Thing, See You Later Alligator Edition. It's kind of what you think. Don't go away. You're listening to Matt and Air on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back. Baby,
building and refreshing local radio one station at a time. This Civic Media radio station is proud to be a part of your community. Learn more at civicmedia.us.
I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show. If you're looking for honest talk, real stories, and straight-up news that matters to you, tune in to The Rick Smith Show. We're digging into the issues that affect your job, your family, your future. Join me weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network, because your voice deserves to be heard. That's The Rick Smith Show, heard weeknights at 9 right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
The author of Bowling Alone says, let's foster new forms of electronic entertainment and communication that reinforce community engagement. Well, that's Civic Media. That's Up North News, trying to get more of us off the couch, give you good information while you are listening, but then to step up, get out there into your community, and bring a friend to the voting booth.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Small businesses are the heart of America. As the nation's largest nonprofit resource of expert business mentoring, SCORE has helped millions of entrepreneurs build their businesses. For free, find a mentor today at score.org.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Your local Civic Media radio station is your source for real news and great conversation, plus fun and exciting contests. For a complete list of contest rules, log on lacrosseeagle.com/contest-terms. As Wisconsin is dropping a line in your favorite fishing spot, this is the Civic Media Radio Network. The talk of lacrosse. Eagle 1490. This is what lacrosse is talking about. This is Eagle 1490. Eagle 1490. Eagle 1490. Eagle 1490. Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air, Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Sweet Calby on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. Join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Tom Hartman coming your way from 11 to 2. Our friend and colleague, Todd Alba, from 2 to 4. Todd's going to be joining us tomorrow morning.
Exactly.
After 9:30, so make sure you're here for that. Also joining us tomorrow, Sarah Harrison is now a candidate. She's running for State Senate District 5. Sarah will be joining us in hour number 2, so that is all coming up tomorrow. Right now, though, Calvin, 10:53, that means it's time for...
This shouldn't be a thing.
As always, if you find a thing you think should not be, send it into Greg and me at janesays@civicmedia.us. J-A-N-E-S-A-Y-S. janesays@civicmedia.us. This one Calvin found from NBC News. David K. Lee, that lucky man, has the byline. The headline reads... Emotional support alligator is no longer welcome in Pennsylvania Walmart. Wesley Silva, 60, said he's never had anything but encouraging feedback when he's out and about with Ginny Oshie. His support, emotional support alligator. Wesley says he's never had a problem before until this recent trip earned them orders to stay away, according to Walmart. Wes and his 5-foot-long, 32-pound reptile named Ginny Oshie made local news after the Walmart trip. We was pushing the alligator around in a shopping cart.
Have you seen a picture, though?
As she was wearing a dress.
Yes! I saw a picture, and the one I saw, it was wearing a nice little sweater.
And it's got a little fur collar around it.
Yes! Just,
yes. Before concerns about the recent visit were raised, Wesley says they've gotten nothing but praise in the past. We've been going to that Walmart for about 3.5 years. And normally the reaction is, that's pretty cool, or that's awesome that you have a pet alligator, man. A spokesperson for Walmart, though, was less than effusive about Ginny Oshie and any other gators. They are no longer welcome inside the store. Quote, "The safety of our customers and associates is our highest priority. We welcome service animals in our stores. It is unacceptable to expose members of the public to potential danger," unquote.
You ever been in a Walmart at 2:30 in the morning?
Is that when all the emotional alligators come out?
I would say it's when certain individuals come out and I fear for. I've been in Walmarts late at night. I'm like, I'd rather be next to an alligator than this guy who can't find NyQuil.
Wesley says he got the alligator from a neighbor who couldn't care for it anymore. He says she spends much of her days in a pool, outside, and nights in the bathtub. He already has a zoo's worth of reptiles at home, including 6 snakes, a leopard gecko, a Komodo dragon. That's a really bad idea.
A leopard? You can have a leopard?
An oscillated leopard gecko.
Oh, leopard gecko. Okay.
A Komodo dragon, an oscillated skink, and a second alligator. He also has a dog.
I feel like half of those things you just made up.
I don't even know what an oscillated skink is.
That's what I was going to say.
Now I think I want one.
It sounds like something that's like a compression part that goes into heavy machinery. Like, you got the oscillating skink?
Bring that oscillated skink over. Yep.
Not the 7/8, the 12/14. Sheesh.
Wesley is a pastor at a Baptist church. He said, quote, "In the Bible, God talks about us having dominion over animals. I developed an affinity for the reptiles. I find them very soothing," unquote. His reptile collection started 3 years ago when one of his daughters wanted a snake. I held it one night and really started a bonding with it. Finally, she gave me an ultimatum. "Dad, you really need to get your own snake." Who hasn't heard that?
Yeah, I mean, what house in America? I mean, let me rephrase that. What house in Florida hasn't heard that sentence
get
be
your
uttered?
Own
yeah.
Darn snake.
You know what I'm going to say? The thing that should not be is the narrow-mindedness of Walmart. That's right, I said it. I think that, you know, if no one had a problem ever before, I think that I think it's cool. I'm for it. Go for it.
You're not getting one.
I'm not going to get it. I barely can make my dog like me. You think I can make like a reptile like me? My goodness, you think a great deal of my abilities.
That wraps up today's episode of
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
Oscillated skink. Now I got to look that up.
Oh,
just
wow.
I'm curious.
It's a beautiful animal.
Is it beautiful?
It's very beautiful. Calvin just sent us a picture of an oscillated skink.
Oh, where is it?
It's.
Oh, it's a lizard.
Chalicides oscillatus in the skink.
It's a speckled lizard.
I feel like I'm saying these words and I feel like the FCC can hit me with something because they don't know these words as well as I don't.
Did he say oscillated skink?
What did he say again?
$500 fine.
There you go.
Thank you, Greg. And Calvin and all of our engineers and everyone at Civic. Without you, nothing works. And thank you most of all for calling and for texting and for listening. It really does mean the world. Thank you guys for hanging down the fort. You did such a great job. Love
you
to death.
Much.
And I hope you will join us tomorrow. Mm-hmm. I hope you find some joy today, even if it's just a little bit and you have the chance to share it. Keep it right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. And we'll see you tomorrow.
soaring high above La Crosse. This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Shiri Preston. Secretary of State Marco Rubio is leaving Israel now for Qatar, site of that Israeli attack on Hamas members in Doha. The U.S. is trying to ease tensions between Israel and Qatar, both close American allies. Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent says a deal has been reached to avoid a ban on TikTok, details to be let go later this week. House Speaker Mike Johnson will lead a memorial service for Charlie Kirk tonight inside the U.S. Capitol, as Utah Governor Spencer Cox says detectives are still piecing together information about the suspect in Kirk's killing, 22-year-old Tyler Robinson, who's said to not be cooperating with police.
Investigators also confirming they've now interviewed Robinson's roommate, with whom they say he was romantically involved. Officials say Robinson had no military experience, but was proficient with a firearm. Multiple social media posts by his family show him posing with guns.
That's ABC's Morgan Norwood. This is ABC News.